verse 1, reading all the way down to verse 6. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, reading all the way down to verse 6. I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. But let me pray, Father, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, I pause right now, Lord, to just give you reverence, Lord God, for your word and what it is that you want to say to us even on this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that as you have encouraged, Lord God, the armies to go up in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that we too position ourselves to stand still and see your salvation. That we position ourselves, Lord God, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, Father God, to receive your word on this morning. We recognize, Father God, that man shall not live but bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of your mouth. And so, God, I thank you that I have studied to show myself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but may I rightly divide the word of truth this morning so that your people will have the right things operating in their lives. And as always, Master, I place a guard over my lips and a watch over my heart that I will not speak anything that is contrary to that which is found in sound doctrine. But let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. And Satan, we gladly remind you that your powers, they are useless. They are ineffective against us, the hearer, but more importantly, the doers of God's word. For that, God, we give you honor and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And let the church say, amen, amen. Amen. We're asking all of you all, if you have the activities of your limbs, to please stand. We stand in reverence to the word of God in this ministry and out of obedience to the order of the house. Thank you so very much. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And so it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. How many know God will stretch you?
Amen.
When you don't want to be stretched, God will stretch you.
Right.
When you don't want to stand, how many know God will tell you to stand up?
Amen.
He says, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. If you would, in unison and very loudly, if you begin to read at verse 1 all the way down to verse 6. Ready? Read. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Look at somebody say, it's time to move up. You got to reposition yourself. One more verse of scripture and I'm going to have you take your seats in the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Let's just zero in on this verse here real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. The scripture says, examine yourself as whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Look at somebody says, time to test yourself. Okay. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? If you would, in unison and very loudly, read that scripture there. Ready? Read. Testing. Yes. Look at somebody and say, I ain't no reprobate. Say, I'm his. Because I'm in him. And he's in me. Amen. So I can pass the test. Amen. Look at somebody before you take your seat. Say, you need to reposition yourself. Look at somebody else. Say, you need to reposition yourself.
You need to reposition yourself.
Find somebody in the back. Look at them. Say, I ain't scared of you.
Say,
I love you.
But it's time for you to
reposition yourself. Look this way. Say, Pastor Mitchell. Say, you too. Say,
I know you're preaching.
But it's time for you
to
reposition yourself. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to us a little bit about moving on up, but not necessarily moving up physically, but I'm talking about moving up more so in a mental state of your mind.
Amen.
Too often, God's people are being robbed of what God has for them, all because of what's going on between those two ears that we have.
Amen.
Am I losing anybody right now? God wants his people at all times to continue to be growing. God wants all his people at all times to continue to be moving to the next level. Matter of fact, it becomes an insult to God when his people who reflect his kingdom stay stagnant.
Amen.
Yes.
Look at somebody say, God wants you to move next to the next level. But it's going to take some repositioning. Many times, if we're not careful, not wanting to reposition, we will stifle our own destiny that God has planned for us.
Amen.
Am I losing anybody?
Amen.
So again, this morning, I just want to encourage the people of God, even as we move into this mid-year, this May, we're moving into the end of the year of 2016, and this has been the year of divine progression, meaning that when we sow ourselves into the good soil of God's kingdom, we should expect to see us moving on up.
Yeah.
Am I losing anybody?
Nope.
Matter of fact, the Jeffersons got tired of where they was living and said, we're going to find us a new place and we're going to reposition ourselves for what is next.
Right. Right.
And look at somebody say, if the Jeffersons can move up,
surely you can
move up. And I'm not just talking about a physical repositioning,
Amen.
Although it incorporates a physical repositioning,
Amen.
But I'm talking about more so, God bless my brother coming in, a mental repositioning of our mind.
Yes.
The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Am I losing anybody?
No.
So this morning, I want to give you what I call, or what God calls, the best approach to reposition yourself. I mean, there's a good approach. Then there's a gooder approach.
Say gooder.
Oh, not gooder?
Gooder. More better.
Oh, more better.
Better. Just better.
There's a gooder approach. I went to the gooder store next week. No. But then God says there's a more excellent way. There's a better way. There is the best way. And how many know God wants the best for his people? Watch this. I'm not worried about where you are right now, because where you are is probably not the best. But where you are is where you're supposed to be, so you can expect
better.
Am I looking? How many of y'all are married? How many know God wants better for your marriage? She said, I could wave my hand now, Pastor. Hey, I got me a husband. So no matter where you start, how many know God wants best for your marriage? How many of y'all got a job? How many of y'all own your job and you know God wants best you to have the best even on your job?
Yeah.
He don't mean for you to work the fry machine the whole time at McDonald's.
He really don't.
Am I losing anybody? Somebody say, I ain't working the fry machine.
No.
All right. I'm working the drive-thru. Amen. You working the drive-thru. Okay. But I'm working on the burger cart. Amen. Y'all helping me preach this morning. But in reality, or when we think about it, no matter where we are in life, God wants the best for us.
Yes.
Say that with me. Let's put this in the atmosphere. God,
who
is the best,
wants the best
for his best.
Look at somebody
saying, I'm his best.
I'm his best.
Look at somebody else say, I'm his best.
My
children always tease me sometimes, and they say, well, we know who the favorite is, but all my children are the best.
Yeah.
They always tease me, say, Daddy, we know who the best is, but all my children are the best. I share with them, I got five children. and I got, it's like five fingers on each hand, on one hand. All of them are different and unique in their own ability, but I need all of them to function. Am I losing anybody? So look at somebody and say, I'm God's best. Say, I might not function like you function. But because the best wants the best, I'm going to get the best. Therefore, I must reposition myself. So this morning, I just want to talk to us about, again, looking back introspectively on our own life as Christian people or as God's people. Because, again, as God's people, the Bible says we're a light, a city that's set upon the hill. Am I boring anybody? We're a light, a city that's set up on a hill, meaning that people want to be able to look at your life and glean from what God, watch this, is doing in and through you.
Yes.
Most of the time people get turned off from church because of church people.
Amen.
Because church people talk like on the mountaintop, but they live in the project low. Church people talk like the righteousness that they are, but they live like the raggedy that
they are.
Ain't nobody talking to me right now. Church people talk about the peace that they should possess, but they live like hell. They're in love with confusion, chaos, and drama.
Right.
And therefore, again, we all have that. So don't get it twisted. Ain't now one of us exempt from confusion, chaos, and drama. Look at somebody and say, but I'm moving up. I got to reposition myself. I mean, even in the midst of chaos, confusion, and drama, you have to be able to say, you know what? This ain't for me. Watch this. After a while, you have to be able to say to yourself, you know what? This ain't working, man. After a while, you have to be able to say, you know what? Man, y'all is a bunch of stinky. Don't say that out loud, but. Okay, y'all can say
that.
But every now and then, you have to be able to be determined in your mind to apply this best approach to repositioning yourself. Say this with me one more time. Say, God, who is the best, wants the best for his best. And look at somebody and say, and I'm his best. But the scripture goes on, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Now it says, test and evaluate yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Now there's a lot of people who talk that they're in the faith. There's a lot of people who continue or want you to think that they're in the faith. But how many know you will know the tree by what it produces? Ain't nobody talking to me right now. Okay, and I'm not talking about a religious kind of connotation of faith where you run around the church and fall out and shout till your hair leave your head. I'm talking about a faith that says, wait a minute, because I have a confident trust in the God who created me, who is the best, you should begin to see some of the best in my life.
Right.
I think Marvin Sapp said it best. He said, he saw the best in me.
Yeah.
I can't sing that, but he can. When everybody else around me could only see the
worst,
God saw the best. Look at somebody and say, there's best in you. So he says, test, evaluate yourself to see whether you're in the faith and living your lives as committed believers.
Amen.
Committed, boy, I got quiet on that part. Committed believers, examine yourself. Not me. Look at somebody say, examine yourself.
Yeah.
Not me. Somebody got the Holy Ghost on that one. Because it's easy for us to point a finger at somebody else. We go 0 to 100 real quick. I had to get that in there because you threw it at me. All right. But the bottom line in front is, if we're not careful, we'll go this year without actually pausing, my sister and my brother, and taking some time to really do a self-evaluation of, watch this, our own faith.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
How many know every now and then you got to be able to pause and look at yourself and say, wait a minute, am I actually getting the lessons that of life that are teaching me? And then when the tests come, am I actually passing it or am I failing it?
Amen.
Is that too much to give you right now?
No.
I mean, it's kind of like in school, you go to school to learn, right?
Right.
You go to school to better yourself, right?
Right.
All right, and if you're like me, you extend a couple of years so you can get up out of there. All right. But the bottom line of front is, even in the school system, whatever educational system that there is, they pause periodically to give you an examination to see whether or not the information that's been flowing, watch this, is actually sticking to what you know.
Right. Yes.
And how many know you can't blame anyone else if we fail the test but yourself? So he says, examine yourself, not me. Now, don't get it twisted. We're going to be able to look at somebody else, but before we take the beam out of their eye, speck out of their eye. There you go, First Lady. Before I get the speck out of their eye, another version says, I got to take the telephone pole out of mine. Now, that's crazy if you have that image in your head, Brother Raymond, somebody walking around with a telephone bowl trying to correct somebody else. Am I losing anybody? You walking around with a telephone pole of insecurity, and you trying to help somebody else to be secure. You walking around with a telephone pole of poverty, and you trying to tell somebody how to be blessed. Oh, ain't nobody. Come on, don't shout me now when I start preaching good. You got to learn it yourself. Now, don't get it twisted. All of us are a work in progress.
Right.
Always.
Look at somebody and say,
I'm a work in progress.
But I choose to move on up.
So
he says, examine yourself, not me. Now, the B version of that, Amplified version, watch this. It says, or do you not recognize this about yourself? Because we can recognize it about everybody else. You know, that brother ain't nothing but a dirty dude. But look at yourself, man.
Yeah.
He ain't nothing but a skirt chaser. What, look at you, Doc? Oh, it's quiet up in here. Please don't throw no bricks at me, man. I got a brick up here. Oh, that sister ain't no good. She always in the drama. What, look at you?
Yeah, look at yourself.
I ain't looking at nobody here. I'm just looking at the sky. Okay? But watch this. Do you not, watch this. What's that word, recognize? Everybody say, you better recognize. Now, we know back in the day when people stepped to you and they stepped on the wrong turf or they messed with the wrong person, yep. Our vernacular, you say, bro, you better recognize. Bro, you better recognize. I'm a Christian, but your chin is still checkable.
Yeah.
Am I talking right?
Yeah.
All right. So when it comes for us to reposition ourselves, when it comes for us to incorporate the repositioning process in our life, we have to begin to recognize some things about ourselves. So watch this. Recognize yourself by an... One more again. By a...
Ongoing experience.
How many know ain't now one of us arrived at the destination that God has for us?
Right.
Pastor ain't arrived. The mothers of the church ain't arrived. The first lady ain't arrived.
Right.
Eldris ain't arrived. I don't care what title they got on, they ain't arrived.
Right.
Matter of fact, the moment you think you've arrived, that's the moment you... Okay. That's the moment. The moment we think we've arrived is the moment we realize we still got a long way to go.
Right.
See, if I'm not careful, even as a pastor, I think, oh, I arrived. No, I ain't arrived nowhere. I'm on my way. But watch this. The way I'm going is up.
Amen.
I ain't going backwards. I ain't going sideways. The way I'm going is up. Look at somebody say,
I'm moving up.
But how many know it takes a mindset? It takes a reality check so that you can have an ongoing experience. Matter of fact, that's what makes us happy is progress. When we see ourselves from where we was 3-4 years ago and say, man, I'm moving forward in my own life. Now, watch this. I may not be where I
was,
but I sure ain't where I But if you is where you used to be, you probably need to do some repositioning. How many know it's frustrating, even for ourselves, when destiny is in us, to remain stagnant in a place too long? Even in a marriage, I want my marriage to move.
Yes.
I want new stuff to come in my marriage, in my relationship. Even on my job, if I'm not careful, I get bored to the point where my job becomes, I become crystallized where nothing is happening, and then I get bored real easy, and then I just give up. I got to find something to do. Man, I've been at this desk for too long. Let me get up and walk around. Am I losing anybody? All right. So we need an ongoing process. Look, somebody say, I need an ongoing process. Say, but that requires me to reposition myself. Now, before I even give you this definition, now we know our story. We started out with Luke chapter 5 where Jesus is, he's watching these two boats who have came in from fishing all night long. And the Bible says he saw two boats by the shore. Which means they was out there toiling all day, my sister and brother, and didn't get nothing. Yep. So Jesus like, okay, I got two boats out here. So let me step into one so the other can see what the one is doing. So he says, let me get in this boat. And then when he got in the boat, he told Peter, he says, now I need you to launch a little bit of ways out from where you used to be.
Right.
How many know some will? Some do, and some don't. Oh, y'all don't know that. Say this with me. Some will, and some won't.
Some
do, and some don't. Look at somebody and say, which
some is you?
So he says, I got two boats right here. Watch this. I got two boats that's out by the shore. Both of them have the potential to do great things. But I'm finna get in one of them. I'm gonna get in one of them. And then I'm gonna challenge the one that I'm in to begin to reposition himself a little bit. I can just see them, bro. Jesus, you know what, Jesus? I know you, Lord and all. I know you're the Messiah and everything, you know, but Jesus, this is what I do. We know this fishing thing.
You a carpenter.
Yeah.
You a carpenter, we a fisher. But make a long story short, or at least interesting, so I can get this message to you. God got inside, or Jesus got inside the particular one. He says, I need you to launch out a little bit further. Then when they got out there, the Bible said he began to teach these folks, not preach to them, he just taught them. He said, and then I'm finna, watch this, even in the midst of launching out, I'm finna challenge them to reposition again. Oh, but I came to church one time. God said, okay, that's good. I need you to reposition some more. But I gave my tithe one time. He said, that's good. I need you to reposition some more. Look at somebody say, it's time to move up. So he says, not only are you, okay, come out from the show. He said, but now I got you out here. I need you to cast your net or launch out into the deep. I need you to get from the childish ways of doing things, the shallow ways of handling your life. Ain't nobody talking to me. Am I boring anybody today? And I need you to mature a little bit and go into some deep stuff. But I can't swim. Learn how to swim. Because how many know shallowness is limited? Ooh, I ain't talking to him. Am I losing anybody? So he says, look, I gotta go. He says, I'm gonna get in this boat, and I'm gonna let that boat that's back there see what I do in this boat. And if you in the boat, let me reposition you a little bit. And then when you get to the place where you think you've arrived, let me reposition you some more.
Right.
Cast your net into the deep. Now the Bible goes on to say, I could just see Peter like, Jesus. Jesus. Now, I know he didn't want to be disrespectful, so he kept it to himself. I mean, working on it. He don't know what I mean. He don't know how much time I spend out here dealing with these ways and dealing with these problems and dealing with this situation. He said, but you know what? Let me let my faith talk instead of my feelings. Nevertheless, since you said, at your word, I'm going to do that. Watch this. Not only did he reposition Peter and the boat physically, he had to reposition them in their mind. And then he had to reposition them in how they talk. Ain't nobody talking to me right now. So he says, okay. He said, okay, Lord, all right, you know what? We've been doing this. I've been doing it my way. And I ain't caught nothing. Nothing happened in my life. So nevertheless, at your word, thank you, First Lady, I'll at least go ahead and try your word. How many of y'all have ever applied the word in your life in an era where you were stuck and said, God, I am so grateful that I actually did that? Yeah. Where your feeling tried to dictate all along, and watch this, you got no further from the shore than where you were. Look at somebody and say, it's time to move up. We got to reposition ourselves. So when we talk about repositioning, is this all right, y'all? When we talk about repositioning, we define repositioning simply as, watch this, it's two words. Position is one spiritual, social, or physical standing. And then re, of course, just simply means to do it again. So God wants us in the process of repositioning ourselves, and some things we might just have to go back and do it again. I know you was out there all day long, Peter and John and everybody else, but I need you to do it again.
Right.
But Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. Lord said, well, I see the future. You probably don't.
Right.
I see some stuff. I'm seeing some fish I'm trying to get to you, even though you're so focused on the situation.
Right.
God says, I just need you to do it again. What if they was like, Jesus, we ain't going out there. You know what, Lord? I was with you. I was with you when you turned the water into wine because I need a little something to drink.
Yeah.
I was, watch this. I was with you when you was feeding them 5,000 because I was hungry too, you know.
Right.
You know, I was with you in the good times, but in this time, you're telling me to move beyond.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, because it's easy to be with God in the good times.
Yeah.
It's easy to shout faith in the good time. My bills is paid. Yeah. Me and my hubby, we getting along. Right. But what about when y'all at each other's neck? Because, right. I mean, that's where faith shines the brightest.
Right.
It's not when the good time. It's not when the seas is calm. Anybody can sail when the seas is calm.
Right.
Shoot, man, I got this.
That's true.
Shoot, man, please. I got money in the bank. Please, what? And then they get a, watch this, then they get a.
Bill.
Turn around.
Watch this. Look at somebody say, I'm moving up. Because
the best God
wants the best for his people. So position means to basically, watch this, reevaluate, redo your spiritual, social, and physical standing. Because repositioning is not necessarily just about putting yourself in a different, physical position. He has to also speak to those individuals, say, okay, you did what I told you to do physically. Now I need you to begin to. Because how many know people can leave a church?
Yeah.
I'm leaving that church. And we do. I'm leaving that church. And then you go over here with the same, wonder why you run into the same problem.
Right.
I'm leaving that relationship. And you go get you another dude. I'm leaving that relationship, and you go get you another crazy girlfriend. It ain't them that's always crazy.
Exactly.
Look at somebody say, that's the truth, though. Many times, it's not the place, it's what's happening between your two ears. Some people just won't change their mindset and reposition themselves for greater things. I'm going to give you this analogy. I'm moving on. Is this all right? Back in the day when I used to fight, back in the way day. Still fighting now. Don't get it twisted. It's been a while, so you hit me on the wrong day. I might get you. All right, don't get it twisted. Lord, forgive me for knocking him out, but you know what? Now, watch this. I might not be that saved that day. Okay. But the bottom line, friends, how many of y'all have ever been in a fight, and you was in a fight, and all of a sudden you was in a fight, so to speak, and all of a sudden, you had to get your position. Once you got your... You was all like this at first. oh, oh, oh. And then all of a sudden you got a break, bruh. Watch it. All of a sudden you got a break to get it. What? I got my position. Come on, Joker. You was in a fight, and all of a sudden, I mean, you was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. None of y'all, I know none of y'all never got beat up. But me, Tracy Cowan. Bah! Sixth grade, I never remember. I never forget it. But what? There's that space in the fight or in the wrestle where you just get a space to just get your second wind and reposition yourself. Okay, I got me some water now. Come on, bring it. How many know you can do more when you reposition yourself? Okay, one more analogy, I'm going to let you go. Workout. How many of y'all ever go to the gym? And when you're under that bar or you on that curl machine, all right, how many know just repositioning yourself works a new Okay, I got the bench right here, wide arm, right? But if I'm pushing, sometimes just repositioning myself gives me an added strength. Am I losing anybody?
No.
Come on, y'all work out. In the military, so when we doing our push-ups, one, two, three. Man, you get that chicken kicking, or kicking chicken, and your muscles get tired, and all of a sudden you go, oh, but I got to get 42. And all of a sudden you want to give up, but then you go, wait a minute, let me just. Let me just reposition myself. I believe I can knock out 10 more if I just reposition. Look at somebody say, I'm moving up. But I got to reposition myself. So repositioning requires four things. Let's get it up there real quick. It requires these four things. Number one, repositioning requires us some recognition. You got to realize and recognize where you are, not where everybody else is, where you are. Because when you die, it's all about you. I know I love my husband and my wife, but it's all about me when I'm in that casket. Am I talking to anybody? So we have to have some recognition. We have to realize where we are. I'm not going to pause too much on these. Then we got to have some reasoning. Okay. Reasoning simply coincides with our conscience that says, you know what? I am sick and tired of being at this place. You have to sit down and reason with yourself and say, wait a minute. What am I doing that's not positioning myself for greater things? Amen. Not what they doing, what I'm doing. Because whatever they do, if I position myself right, I can handle it. Right. Ain't nobody talking to me right now. Yeah. Then repositioning, this is not the best approach, but repositioning requires, watch this, reliance. Amen. Yeah. Simply just meaning I gotta trust somebody after a while. I might not be able to do it all myself. So if the personal trainer is saying, look, I need you to switch up your grip, bruh. I need you to switch that up. How many know I got to rely on what they're teaching me in order to get the best out of? Am I losing anybody? And then the last thing that repositioning requires is risk. I've got to be willing to go beyond where my feelings stay. How many know I got to take some risk? But most Christian people who talk on the mountaintop is so much scared, they just as scary as the next person. Ain't nobody talking to me right now. Because they want everything to be perfect before they move to the next level. Well, you know, I need everything to be perfect before I go back to school. Well, if God's telling you to go back to school, well, you know, I need everything to be perfect before I find me the perfect man. Honey, you're not going to find the perfect man.
I guarantee you.
No, I promise you.
He or she don't exist. Did I say he or she? Okay, it's that society. Okay, but we still got to be able to take risk. See, when the disciples heard Jesus say, look, I need you to go out a little further, they had to take a risk.
Amen.
They had to take a risk. Watch this. With what they knew and said, okay, we're going to drop that for a minute. But nevertheless, at your word.
Right.
And how many know that risk brings reward?
Yeah.
But watch this. Ain't you got to have a little guts to do that?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why we admire these superstars, because many of them took a risk that a lot of people wasn't willing to take.
That's right.
He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out the boat. Peter took a risk.
Yep.
Look at somebody and say, I'm moving up. But I got to reposition myself. So what does it take? Let me give you this best approach. Is this all right? Let's get this best approach out the way. This best approach. Okay. What does it take to reposition ourselves? The first thing, we need to be open to repositioning. Be open. Some people are so stuck in their whiz-a's, they are not open to anything new. I always date black men. Well, you might need to change that. I always date my sisters. Bro, you might need to change that. Am I losing anybody? Well, I always did it like this on my job. You might need to try something new. We always do this in the bedroom. You might need to try something new. Ain't nobody talking to me right now. Even in a relationship, you got to be open to reposition. How could... He said, preach, pastor, preach, pastor, preach, pastor, preach, pastor. After a while, let's spice it up. Am I losing anybody? He said, that's my word. Amen. Wouldn't have been addiction, pastor. Wouldn't have been addiction. I love y'all to the T. We're not crazy, my sister. I promise you, we're not. Look at here. Say this with me. I got to be open to reposition. This is a bad scripture right here. Proverbs 18 and 15. It says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. That's one you want to put on the Facebook, tweet, whatever you do. Put it up there. This is a bad scripture right here. Intelligent people are, watch this, always ready to learn. I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. See, what you're doing is showing your ignorance and your stupidity. How many of y'all love to be around stupid people all the time? I mean, you just enjoy being around people who love to be stupid. Because we all have our stupid moments, don't we? But if we always stupid, and people say, don't call me stupid. The Bible call you stupid. Watch this. Intelligent people, am I teaching on anything? That intelligent people are always ready to learn. Teach me so I can increase. I can just imagine Peter saying, if he wasn't intelligent enough, he would have just said, no, I got this. And been stupid. Watch this. He wouldn't have not done what God told him to do. And he would have lacked what God wanted to get to him. Watch this. All because he was stupid. But Peter said, no. Wait a minute. I'm not going to be dumb, Lord. I'm finna let my intelligence speak right now. Teach me, Lord. And then Lord said, I tell you what, I need you to launch out a little bit. Then I'm going to teach you a little bit more. But then I'm going to take you further. And I like this last portion. Their ears are always open for knowledge. This is another good one of the Living Bible. Let's put that up there. Look at here on the Living Bible, or that same verse. The intelligent man or woman is always open to new ideas. But this is the way I always done it. Well, the way you always done it ain't working. An intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, she or he actually goes, man, I've been going to this hole-in-the-wall club over here, and I ain't caught nothing but some buzzards, men that don't want nothing in life but some booty. I better go down here. Can we go somewhere where at least they got a clout about what they do? I know I'm putting it in that vernacular because, you know, none of us go to the club. I got it. I understand. None of us go on dates. I get it. You at home reading your Bible 24/7. I got it. You got your Mahalia Jackson on read. I got it. I'm speaking to a bunch of perfect people who don't do nothing but just, Lord, all day. I got you. Look at somebody and say, that ain't me. But eventually, I got to use some intelligence, Brother Jay, and find out new ways to do what I'm doing. If my rap career is not happening the way I want it this way, let me go ahead and find out
a different way.
And look at God blessing him. Let's give Jay another hand. All right. So the first approach and the best way is what? We have to be open. Look at somebody say, you got to be open. Come on, do your gang sign like this. Say, be open. One more time. Come on, gang sign. Be open. One more time, do your gang sign. Be open. Oh, but I done it all this way. Because how come you know when to open when you're supposed to close? Oh, that's okay, okay. Did I say that? Brother, be open for something new. Stop taking your girl to McDonald's all the time. She tired of Denny's. Can we at least go to Golden Corral when she can eat all she wants? Come on, Ray. Come on. Be open. Doggone it. And then I like this next one. Watch this. The next way that we, is y'all learning anything? The next way that we reposition ourselves is we must exercise our willingness to repositioning. We must exercise our willingness. How many know some people recognize it, but they ain't willing to do it? Because it's one thing to see it, and it's a whole different ball game to say, okay, let me jump from one side. But Lord, you don't see all this, Lord. Lord, you don't know what I'm going through, Lord. But God says you got to be willing to take a leap of faith from here and get. You got to have a willingness. Like this, Isaiah 1 and 19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That scripture right there, look at that. But here's another bad scripture right here. Proverbs 20 and 4. It just says this. If you're too lazy to plow in the right season, you will have no food at the harvest. That's a bad scripture. I like that one. Because what it tells me is that most people want much out of their life, but they're too lazy to actually plow in the right season. They want to be real spiritual at church and lose all spirituality on Monday. Because how many know it's easy to be spiritual in church? You ain't lighting up no joints up in church. You ain't drinking no Hennessy up in church. You ain't dating nobody. You ain't having sex up in church. At least you hope not. This ain't that kind of church. But the bottom line of the front is, most folks, watch this, they're not willing to reposition themselves. Think about the disciples. Am I losing y'all? Think about the disciples. If they was like, you know what, Lord, we've been toiling all night long. We ain't doing that. They wouldn't have the fish that they needed the other boat to come help them with.
Right.
Most of us, if we're not careful, we allow the laziness and the unwilling. I'm not just talking about laziness as a lethargic laying around with your feet kicked up. I'm talking about when God is telling you to move and you're too lazy to actually trust him to do it.
Right.
Yep. That's true. Watch this. I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. My son and I were talking. Son, can I use this analogy right here? My son and I were talking yesterday, and we were talking about how God's, the phone, you have these new phones, they send you updates every now and then. And you know that update is coming, even though you know you need to communicate, that update is coming. And son, if I butcher it, then help me out here. But the updates is coming. How many of you hear updates on your phone? And you know the update is there to help you to communicate better, right? To get, supposedly, so to speak. But the bottom on the front is the principle is the updates come, and my son, he shared this to me. My eyes was like, oh my God, that's so good. But most people bypass the updates.
Yep.
I ain't got time for no update right now. I got to do something. Come on, am I by myself? Come on, roll the boat with me now. Come on. But the update comes, watch this. Because the manufacturer or the system or the manufacturer of the product sends the updates so that the product can work better. It repositions the product so that the product can produce a greater promise. Son, if I mess this up, help me out. But make a long story short, most people bypass that because they're too unwilling to actually take the time to let the update run. So my son showed me one thing, and I'm moving. My son showed me one thing that just blessed my spirit. He says, Dad, he says, when the updates come on the phone, many times you'll see all those things up there, and you can be able to swipe them updates away. But one thing you can't swipe, and I did not know this. That's why I need to reposition myself on my BlackBerry. Y'all been praying, Lord, reposition him from that BlackBerry. Come on, am I by myself? Because, watch this, even after a while, y'all was like, Pastor, come on, BlackBerry, come on, Pastor. 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 A rotary dial on your hip, Pastor. A beeper, Pastor, come on. A pager, Pastor, come on. And if I'm not, you know, you got them people, man, it's a pager. What you talking about? It's a BlackBerry. What you talking? You out of date. You need to We'll make a long story short. Gotta go. So he says, you can swipe those things away. But one thing you can't swipe is that when the system sends an update, you can't swipe that away. And then I love what he says right here. He says, if people are not careful, when you don't update your phone after a while, it starts to work again. Watch this. Your phone starts slowing down. You got viruses coming up. Watch this. All because you was too unwilling or lazy to let the update run. I'm preaching a phone right now. Watch this. Just like that in our lives. We can't swipe when we know God is trying to update us. Watch this. You can swipe everything else away. I ain't going back to church. That's fine, but you can't swipe the update away. I ain't reading the Bible no more. That's fine, but you can't swipe the update away.
It ain't going nowhere.
Am I losing anybody? Look at somebody and say, it's time to reposition ourselves. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, reposition your phone. Give the Lord a hand of praise right there. All right, come on. I got to get you this approach. So not only do we have to be open, everybody say be open, then we got to be willing to repossession ourselves or exercise our willingness. Then the third thing is we must stay alert to the resistance of repositioning ourselves. Look at all these exclamation points around this person. The resistance is coming from the outside, and if we're not careful, the resistance can come from the inside. I don't need to do this right now. You're resisting the update. I'll get to it later. You're resisting the update. I'll repent later. You're resisting the update. I'll leave that person that I know I'm supposed to leave alone. You're resisting the update. It's not important. Am I losing anybody? So of the best approach, the B, of course, we know we got to be open. The E, we got to exercise our willingness. The S, we must stay alert to the resistance of repositioning ourselves. Look at somebody say, stay alert.
Stay alert.
Stay alive.
Stay alert.
Stay alert.
Stay alert.
Stay alive.
Stay alive.
How many know when you stay alert, you stay alive?
Amen.
When the update comes, get that update right then.
Yeah.
And your phone system will stay alive.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Let me teach y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. The Bible says, for a great and effective door is opening up to me, and there are many adversaries. You see that? Or many opposing. And let me just pause right there. These opposing adversaries, my brothers and sisters, are also, they are external, but they're also internal. It's not just about what the man or the woman is trying to do to me. It's about what you do to yourself. Because again, if you and I are not careful, everybody's not going to applaud you when you begin to reposition yourself. Some people want you to fall under that weight so they can feel good about themselves. Am I losing any? But if you're not careful, this, and I don't have time to labor this, so I got to give you these scriptures real quick. Go to the next one real quick. Now what happened, we know Nehemiah was building a wall and he had his enemies coming up against him. But the Bible says when Sanballat and Tobiah, or his enemies, heard that the walls of Jerusalem, look at here, was being restored and the gaps were being what? Closed. They began to reposition themselves. What happened? They got mad. That's external. You're going to have folks that's going to always get upset with what you're doing. But watch this. Your positioning is not predicated upon whether they position themselves or not. Nehemiah. Oh, yeah, I said Jeremiah, but it should be Nehemiah. Sorry, y'all. Nehemiah. Okay. Your repositioning should not be predicated upon whether or not the other boat want to launch out. Because when I launch out and I get my fist, don't be asking me for $5 then. Because you could have had the same $5 I got if you would have did something 5 days ago. Right. How many of y'all people will come around when you got abundance?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think Drake said it best. Forget my fake friends. Where my real friends at?
Right.
Started from the bottom. Now I'm here. Because I need somebody who's been in my corner, not because of what I got, but because of who I am. And when you begin to reposition yourself, husbands, wives, daughters, sons, children, when you begin to reposition yourself in this particular life, when God speaks to you and says, launch out, go a little further, whether that's college, whether that's your career, whether that's in your marriage, whether that's in your church attendance, whether that's in your Bible reading, whatever it is, when God says, get away from the shore, people who are in love with mediocrity, get away from that, and I need you to move over here a little bit, then I want you to be, watch this, be aware of the resistance. Everybody not going to applaud you. And then that's outside pressure, but then look at this inside pressure. Proverbs, come on, next scripture. Proverbs 19:3. Good News Translation says, some people ruin themselves by their own stupid actions. And then they blame it on the Lord. That's in the Bible, y'all. Somebody said, wait, Pastor, I got to take a picture of this. I got to record this. Because you got people mad about their own life, but it's your stupid action. Don't tell me that, Pastor. I want to hear that. I want to hear Daniel's in the lion's den. Well, Daniel wasn't stupid in the lion's den. Some people ruin their own lives, look at here, by their own actions, and then they blame the Lord. The next scripture says, look here. Paul says, but you're not limited by us, but you are limited by your own affections. I like the next version, the Message Bible, that particular version. He says, the smallness that you feel comes from within you. Oh, but they ain't doing nothing for me. It ain't about them. What's in you? It's not what happens to you. It's what's happening in you. Ooh, that's a good tweet. He says, the smallness that you feel comes from within. I like this. Y'all read that since I can't read too much. Read that. How many old people who live just small lives? And I'm not just talking about because they got a hoopty, but they don't want nothing else. I'm not just talking about because they got a small apartment, but they just don't want nothing else. They hanging around with all these buzzards. Don't you want something else? Your love life is small because you're allowing it to be small. Okay. So we must stay alert to the resistance of repositioning ourselves. Let me give you this paraphrase. This is all right. Look at this paraphrase up here. It says, repositioning ourselves in life positions us for more out of life. Repositioning ourselves in this life that we live, now it positions us for more out of life. When they launched out from the deep in them boats, it was positioning them for more than what they could possibly handle. But how many know, if you're not careful, you and I will be like this goldfish, if we're not careful, and stay in this little life when there's all this out here. That fish said, man, I got to get up out of here. Read that with me. Ready? Read. So as we land this plane, the last of the best approach is we must now begin to trust God's process of repositioning us. Yep. But God, I don't know why that update is the way it is. They put it there so that your phone can run a little bit more proficiently, and so you need to trust the update. Amen. God, I don't know why you're doing this in my life. God says, trust the update. Amen. I don't know why I got to do that, Lord. God says, trust the update. But most folks don't want to trust the update. Amen. Am I losing anybody? And wonder why, after a while, your system is sluggish. Some of it shuts down. Some of us quit before we even get the promise because we won't allow or trust the update. Scripture, am I losing anybody? Scripture says, Jeremiah 10 verse 23, it says, the ways of a man are not of himself. It is not a man to direct his own steps. So why you keep doing that? You love the Lord, he your Lord, but you won't do what he tell you to do.
Right.
Philippians 1 and 6, so I can close this message, says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. See, what God started in you, he not finished until it's all done.
Yeah. Right.
So you and I have to trust the process of repositioning. Right. And then I like this last, Luke 5 and 5, says, Master, we toiled all night, and we ain't caught Jack. But nevertheless, at your word, we're going to let down our net. How many know they had to trust the process of repositioning their boat from the shore?
Yep.
But most of us say we trust God, but we really don't.
Right.
We really don't.
Right.
We only trust him when the waves are calm.
Right.
Yep.
We only trust him when there is no wind.
Yep.
We only trust him when everything is going well. But how many know that's not necessarily the trust?
No, sir.
That's benefiting off of the circumstance. Trust is when, you know what? I don't know. Oh, Lord God. Oh, I see the winds and the waves. Watch this. But I trust your word. I see all the hell around me, but I trust your word. I see the famine. Ain't nothing really happening right now, but I trust your word with this tithe. Folk talk like they really trust the process, and when it don't work as fast as they want it to work, they jump off.
Right.
And the question goes back, were you really trusting it in the first place?
Right.
How many know if we want the best out of the best, we got to go for the best.
Right.
So let's wrap this up. What's the best approach? Let's go. I'm glad you asked. How do we reposition ourselves? The first one is we need to what? Second,
exercise your willingness to reposition. Stay alert to the resistance of repositioning. Trust in God's process of repositioning.
Now, if you take the first letter of each of those particular, how many know that's the best approach to reposition yourself?
Amen.
And if you and I want the best out of life, we'll be best to reposition ourselves. Look at somebody, say it's time. To reposition ourselves. Come on, stand.